Welcome back to In the Moment, the 25th reunion of the USS South Dakota, or Battleship X, was held July 6th through the 9th in Sioux Falls. It was advertised as the final reunion, but the crew of the South Dakota just might have something to say about that. In the Moment, producer Steve Swemke joins us now with a feature on the reunion and to share some historical details of the USS South Dakota from 72 years ago. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Lori. I'm glad to find out or hear that those World War II veterans still have some of that stubbornness.
Right. Don't say final yet, please.
That's right. Well, the story about the reunion happening earlier this month kind of ties into a date in history, which was this past weekend. The USS South Dakota, along with other Third Fleet and British battleships, destroyers, and cruisers, engaged in 2 days of attacks 72 years ago this past weekend in Hamamatsu, Honshu, an important industrial city about 125 miles from Tokyo. 1,000 tons of bombshells struck the city on July 30th alone, back in 1945. Now, for security reasons, the Navy wanted to keep the identity of the Third Fleet's lead ship anonymous, so reports often referred to the South Dakota simply as Battleship X. SDPB TV intern Miquan Chan collected audio at the recent USS South Dakota reunion in Sioux Falls. We'll hear from South Dakota Battleship Memorial President Diane Diekman and crew members and World War II veterans E. David Hobbs, Waldron Pratt, and Leo Gee in this feature.
I'm Captain Diane Diekman, United States Navy, retired. I am the president of the South Dakota Battleship Memorial, and I am the commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post, which is why I'm dressed like this today while I'm at a Navy event. I am a South Dakotan. I grew up in Clear Lake, and then I was gone for 38 years during my Navy career, and then I moved back home to South Dakota in about 7 years ago, and I live here in Sioux Falls. When I moved back, someone told me that this Battleship Memorial was looking for a Navy captain to be the president of it because the current president was retiring, and I said, okay, I can do that. So I've been involved with this Battleship Memorial for about the last 6 years now, I guess, so I'm the president of the board now. This is my fourth one. Each year we have one of these reunions. They have them every 2 years. We say, well, it's probably the last one. But then 2 years go by and there are enough sailors left from the battleship who still want to have a reunion. So this year we had 7 come to the reunion. So we say this is probably the last one. But 2 years from now, if some of them want to have another reunion, then we will do it. It's a historical event. It showcases our state. It showcases our history. The USS South Dakota was an important battleship during World War II. So to preserve this history, and it makes our state look good to have this ship named for it. And to actually have the sailors who were on the ship come here to this event, it's a great celebration, and it's a beautiful day in South Dakota. We would like this battleship memorial to continue on into the future. When it was built, it was a repository of for the sailors who had been on the ship. They came here, had reunions all the time. They brought their artifacts here. So it was a gathering place for them. Well, now most of them are gone, and it's time to refocus it. So we want it to be an educational place. We want it to be for people who the upcoming generations, you know, and school children, and we want everybody to understand the history of our country. We want them to understand the war history. So we would like to build another building, an addition on it, and get more artifacts in it and make it more of an educational event for for future generations so that it will last forever and ever, because like I said, its original purpose, the gathering place for the crew members, it needs a new direction. The Battleship South Dakota Memorial has been here since, it's been here for 50 years. When the ship was decommissioned and it was going to be cut up for scrap, the people in South Dakota said, well, we want to preserve our battleship, so this memorial was built. And then they started having the reunion, so for 50 years we've had the battleship memorial here. So, of course, this is where we have the event.
My name is E. David Hobbs. Well, I was originally born in Fresno, California, and raised between there and San Francisco. At 17, I graduated from high school and went down and joined the Navy. As war was on, and about 90% of the guys in the class joined some service, and about 50% of the girls. So we were ready to go. Ready to do our duty. So I retired when I was 61 because my wife had Alzheimer's and I had to take care of her. So I've been doing that and I'm retired now for over 30 years. So enjoying life.
Awesome.
I enjoy coming here because I see some of the guys that I was working with on the ship, and we are glad to see each other and. Still walking. That's getting to be a problem. You get into your 90s, that's what happens. But other than that, that's just, I did what I was supposed to do in the community, in life, and do a lot of volunteer work still, and help out in different nonprofit organizations. So. But that's what I spend my time doing now. About seven. I didn't know about it. My oldest son told me about it. He saw it on the internet. I don't do internet, so. But he told me about it. First one I missed, I just got there the last day of it. But, we drove in from, I live in Arizona now, and drove up from Arizona to do that. This year my oldest son and my grandson came with me to help do some of the driving. They're impressed with what they saw, particularly my grandson. We're going to go down to Mobile, Alabama, and see the sister ship, Alabama. See what my grandson can see what a real battleship looks like. Well, I think it means that we still can see each other, and we're still here, and reminisce over some of the things that we, I guess you could say, accomplished during World War II. And that was our job at that time, to take care of the ship and make sure that it did its job, and it did. I just wish everybody could understand what went on in World War II, that was not participating in it. And like I grew up, there was four of us kids that grew up together. Leroy didn't make it back from the Philippines. He was killed over there by the Japs. But other than that, just read history. It's very important.
Well, it's a good portion of my life. I mean, after all, that's where I really got indoctrinated. I come out of high school, what'd I know? Like I said, the best thing I did was join the Navy. I got a lot of benefits out of it. The government did real well. They had the GI Bill. I got to go to college. I went to Purdue for 5 years. Ended up being an electrical engineer. And I ended up getting good jobs. I never had any unemployment. And I worked for a number of different companies. One company, the first company after college, I worked for was back on Long Island. And I was in the aero group. We were modifying airplanes into drones. And these drones were being used as targets for other missile systems. And then also, if they wanted to simulate some crash or something, they could crash the plane there. And that was good, you know. Then I went from there, joined another company where we made the Talos missile, which is a ramjet propelled missile used on seven cruisers. It had a capability going up to 80,000 feet, going out 100 miles, it could operate down on the surface. That was a good program. Then I moved over to another group and worked on the engine control for Army's M1 tank. And I had a chance there to ride in a tank and drive it. It's a good tank. Well, it'd be nice if they get on the computer and check on South Dakota. And better yet, make a vacation and come out and see this place. Because this is everything. And other than that, you'll never know. But you gotta have people to get inspired to go find out.
I was a radarman aboard ship. Well, I was sworn into the Navy at the Federal Building in San Francisco. And from there I went to boot camp in Farragut, Idaho. And the Farragut, Idaho camp was built just for training World War II sailors. And there's nothing up there left up there but the brig, and it's made into a museum. So that's where I started my Navy career. And then from there I was transferred to the South Dakota, and the South Dakota was in Bremerton, Washington at the time, being repaired from damage it had received in the Pacific. And from there I was aboard until the end of the war, and we come back home. We stopped by Guam on the way home and picked up some more sailors to bring home, and then we sailed under the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco to a big celebration. But one of the highlights, I guess, was this Japanese surrender. We thought that the surrender was going to be signed on the South Dakota because we had Admiral Halsey and Admiral Nimitz aboard ship. After the war, we kind of the fleet just milled around outside of Tokyo Bay until the Marines went ashore and secured all the gun batteries on the entrance to the bay in Tokyo. So, but since the President Truman happened to be from Missouri, they signed it on the Missouri. So they took the admirals off of our ship and put them on the Missouri and signed the treaty. Well, I think I've been coming since, I know I've been coming since 1991. And I think we came once before then. Well, I like to come back here and see the shipmates because aboard ship, you really only knew the ones in your division. And there were 60 shipmates in the radar division. And some of them came then, but all of them that I knew has passed away in the meantime. But and the hospitality back here is great. Everybody treats you super when you come back here. Well, I tell them the South Dakota was actually the most decorated ship in World War II. And like I said, the first six battles, the South Dakota was in 13, received 13 battle stars. I wasn't aboard for the first six. And I was aboard for the last seven. And after I came aboard, the ship never received any damage from the Japanese after I came aboard. The only damage we got was one time when we went to the, through a typhoon, it did a little damage to the ship. And one other time when we were taking on ammunition at sea, there was loading 16-inch gunpowder into the magazine below, and one of them exploded. And I think it killed nine sailors aboard at that time. And some of them, Well, when that exploded, they afraid that it, if it had got down into the magazine and did explode the rest of them, that would probably have been the end of the South Dakota. But so they just flooded that magazine, and I think there was a few sailors maybe down there storing the ammunition when it was lowered, and they just grounded them down there. But they didn't have any other choice but to do that, save the ship.
Lori, the last voice we heard was that of Leon G., who served as a radar man aboard the South Dakota, and before that was Waldron Pratt, who goes by Wally. And all three of the crew members in our feature are World War II veterans, and it's important to them to keep the USS South Dakota in our history lessons and to preserve that history for generations to come. Listeners, by the way, can learn more by visiting usssouthdakota.com.
Remarkable stuff, Steve. Thanks for bringing it to us, and thanks to the folks at SDPB-TV, and most of all, thanks to the men of the USS South Dakota.